الحمد لله وكفى والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون والسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم. One of the principles of the Arabic language, maybe it's not a principle, but it's an observation that some of our scholars have made, is that the language, the sounds of the language guide to meanings. I shared this a couple weeks back. Was it last week or 2 weeks ago? The last time we had the Gems of the Quran session, I shared this concept as well, but I'll just repeat it because it's going to flow into something that I want to share today. So the scholars, when they look at the Arabic language, they say that often the sounds of the letters will add flavor to the meanings of the language. It's a bit abstract, what I'm saying, so let me just give you an example, which again I shared previously, but we'll just repeat it for everyone's benefit. For example, when you hear the letter sheen, you have this feeling of flow, right? Ish, ush, ush. So the letter sheen gives you this extension, feeling of extension. You can hear the sound extending. And sometimes when a word begins with the letter sheen, that same meaning is expressed as a subtle accent. For example, if you think about the Arabic word shams, shams you all know is sun, okay? The word shams. But the sound, now when you think about the sun, you think about the light, you think about the spreading of the light. And the sound also provides a flavor of that. Because of the way that the sheen in particular, the way that the sheen flows, the way that its sound spreads. So shumps, when you hear the word shumps, you also get this spreading of the sound. And then, of course, that refers to the sun, which gives you this idea of the spreading of the light or the spreading of the heat of the sun. Second example, the word in Arabic for tree, shajara, same thing, begins with a sheen. Sheen gives a little bit of a feel of spread. And when you think about a tree, you think about a trunk, and then you think about the spreading branches and the spreading leaves, right? So when you think about a tree, it's something that it stands upright, but then it spreads itself, it opens itself, it provides shade, etc. So this word shajara has the same meaning. Now, the example that I wanted to share today, it's interesting. The word sheikh in Arabic, sheikh is used to refer to like a teacher, or a guide, or someone that you can rely on we're going to talk more about this in a minute, but you know, you understand the word sheikh. And subhanAllah, in my mind, when I think about that, think about the word sheikh, the same thing, which is that a sheikh is someone who permeates our lives and affects it positively in so many different domains. A sheikh is someone who permeates our lives and affects it positively in so many different domains. Now, just to highlight this, I'm going to give you back a little history when I was in college. I remember when before I was introduced to any of this, what's a sheikh, what's tasawwuf, what's spirituality, before I was introduced to any of this, I mean, I had some very vague idea, but you think about, you know, college, what do we know when we're in college? And honestly, when I was in college, it was just trying to figure out the very basics. But I was interacting with some people, and it wasn't a big community at that time. I was in college, And I'd be interacting with people at Loyola and University of Chicago, Northwestern, et cetera. And there was this one brother, specifically at Loyola. One day he sat me down and he was telling me the story of this person in his life. Now, he was from Pakistan. He was telling me the story of this person in his life who he kept referring to as Babaji. And he was telling me that, you know, there's this person, he actually stays in our home. Now, it wasn't in the home exactly. There was like an apartment next to the home. And he's like, you know, we have this person in our family. He's not technically related to us, but he's the sheikh. And he happens to actually reside in this like apartment that's adjacent to our home. And we interact with him and the whole family interacts with him. And we, you know, he's kind of like the person who reminds us of our deen and inspires us towards our deen. And we have this personal interaction with him and he treats all the kids as if they're his kids. And he was describing this whole interaction that not only he had, but the entire family had. And I vividly remember, I mean, to this day, I'm remembering that conversation. And you know me, if you know me, I don't have a very bad memory. I can't remember very many things. But anyway, I remember this conversation very vividly. What do I remember? I don't remember exactly what he said, but I remember my reaction in my mind. What was that reaction? I started thinking in the back of my mind, wow, this sounds like what it would have been like to be with the Prophet ﷺ. This sounds what it would be like if I was with the Prophet ﷺ. And I remember thinking in the back of my mind, like, he's talking and he doesn't know. He's just casually talking. He's not like giving me dawah or anything. He's just casually talking. And I remember thinking in the back of my mind, I wish I had someone like that. Like, because obviously, look, what would be the best scenario? It would be that we are sitting in front of the Prophet ﷺ. And sitting in front of the Prophet ﷺ, we would come in, we would be inspired just by looking at him. We would sit in his gatherings and be reminded of the things that actually matter, you know, because it's so easy to go outside and all of that gets effaced. You know, you can remember the Day of Judgment. You can remember the fact that Jannah is all that matters. You can remember that we're going to die and take nothing with us. But you go out into the world, you get completely deceived by the world. That's just the nature of this world. It effaces whatever you have, you know, whatever compass you have in life, and it manages to, you know, deviate that compass. And I remember, and if obviously if we were in the time of the Prophet, then we would simply just show up. And if we would show up, we would be able to benefit from the gatherings. We would be able to be inspired and reminded of what matters most. And furthermore, we would be able to present anything before him. So I send them. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, necessarily we would have an answer to every single thing in the sense that the Prophet I send them had a role. He played that role. But we would be able to present ourselves, present our families, present our issues, get guidance. Like, and I remember thinking in the back of my mind, like, that's not available. But what he was describing to me was like the next best thing. It was the next best thing. And honestly, that's how human beings function, by the way. Like, yes, we can be inspired by the Prophet ﷺ and his sunnah and everything that he stood for. But the reality is that you still need someone that's going to act as a conduit to get you there. In fact, nobody would debate this. You know, if you want to learn tajweed, you're going to sit in the company of a teacher who's going to teach you tajweed. Now, what are they representing? They're representing the revelation of the Quran to the Prophet ﷺ. They're not replacing that. They're representing that. But you still need to connect with someone that's in front of you so that you can make a one-on-one connection and attain that goal. If you want to know the knowledge, if you want to learn the knowledge that the Prophet ﷺ brought, it's not taken from books, although it's captured in books, but it's not taken from books. It's taken from what? It's taken from finding a teacher that you can connect and relate with, be inspired by, sit at the feet of, and you then have this interaction with that teacher, and that's what allows you to bridge that divide. Now, what is that divide? That gap that exists, that centuries of gap that's between us and the Prophet ﷺ. So when he was talking, I just was thinking in the back of my head, this is exactly what I'm looking for. Although he didn't know what he was saying, I just was thinking in the back of my head, this is exactly what I'm looking for. And subhanAllah, from that day onward, I remember that I began this like quest, like this journey, to just see like, Can I find such a person that I can relate with? And subhanAllah, I had the opportunity to go to different places, to meet with different individuals, and eventually, you know, after some journey, and I'm not saying it was like some extensive journey where I'm like traveling through deserts or anything, but eventually, after some journey, I met my Sheikh, Sheikh Zulfikar, who, subhanAllah, played that exact role in my life. SubhanAllah played that exact role in my life. And many of you are aware, I'm sure, that he recently passed away. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevate his rank and expand his grave and grant him the highest place in Jannah. But subhanAllah, I remember desiring it, and then I was fortunate enough to find it. And, you know, you have to think for a second, like, I have to find, in my circumstance, right, I've got to find someone that can relate to me in a way that is going to inspire me towards my deen, but it's also going to be congruent with understanding me in the context in which I exist. That's not an easy thing to find in life. I would say it's almost impossible to find in life. So, but subhanAllah, like, he's an engineer, you know, at the time, right? I mean, he's an engineer, he understands me, he's a professional, he's gone through university, he's highly trained in his deen, he exemplifies that in his behavior and his character. And subhanAllah, the connection that I developed with him, obviously it was a connection of love, right? That has to be present. But it permeated, like the word Sheikh, it literally permeated into everything that I did. It wasn't just like a token Sheikh. It was a real permeation into like every single domain of what I was doing. Now, of course, it's not like every single daily decision, like what time am I going to go buy groceries, you know? That wasn't the type of interaction or relationship. But the major things in my life, like, for example, I have these like notes that I've taken historically. Like, so what I would do is I would only meet him once a year. Most years, I think I met him once or twice a year, right? I'm not like daily interacting with him. But my heart was constantly connected, till now. Nothing's changed. And I would, you know, prepare my questions in different topics, and I would go and sit with him. I would get 15, 20, maybe an hour, you know, of like one-on-one time, once or twice a year. And I would like present the big items, the big picture, and then I would write my little notes next to it. And subhanAllah, I have like little copies of these, not all of them, but some of them. I have these little pictures of these notes historically that I would discuss with him. And I look back at them sometimes, and it says like work, and then it says like masjid, and then it might even say like somebody's name, you know, because like this person is like really involved with me, and like it's like I'm worried about this person, something or else, or it'll say my kids, it'll say kids, right? Or it'll say home, or like big topics. And subhanAllah, exactly true to the finest nuance of the pronunciation of the word, that's exactly the relationship that developed. So much so that in such an odd way, you know, like I said, it didn't just, the benefit, the blessings didn't just directly affect me, and not only in my deen, but they affected everyone around me in every domain. So religiously is obvious. So many people that I interacted with after that one connection between me and him, so many people that I interacted with benefited across decades. And I can make a long list in my head, but there's no need to because Allah is, you know, capturing it all. But subhanAllah, in so many angles, in so many ways, religiously, so many people benefited all over the world. Not just from my interaction, from his interaction with so many different people, but I can literally trace it personally. Like, it's visible to me. It's visible to me. And I could share so many stories and go on forever, but there's no need to. Like I said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that records all. So that's just in the religious domain. But then I look at, like, the kids, you know, each of my kids, you know, like, how hard it is to raise your children and to get them to where you think they should be, or maybe even where they want to be, and how you achieve all of these goals, and then all of the other kids that benefit secondarily. And I'm thinking, like, subhanAllah, like, I see my kids wherever they've gotten to, and I'm thinking back to so many of the conversations that I had with him. And then even this masjid. I mean, there's a long, lengthy, I can tell a 2-3 hour story about this whole masjid and the interactions that we had with him and all of the advice that he gave and how so much of that eventually became relevant and even the potential mistakes that we would have made. And I literally drive by those mistakes because they're just right around the corner. And I think, subhanAllah, we were going to be there, but we're here instead, and this is so much better. Because we didn't envision what it would become and just how many people would end up coming here and how many, you know, just the way this place needed to be situated. I mean, subhanAllah, the story can go on and on and on. And that's just from the religious domain. But to me, what's even a greater example of this just nuance of the how my interaction with my sheikh really permeated in every domain is that, subhanAllah, there's a whole generation of medical students across the entire world who have benefited from him. And they're not even Muslim. I'll just tell you, and I'm not trying to elevate myself, I never speak about myself, but you know, how many physicians are there in the planet that can say that the vast majority of medical students across the world are indebted to them? There's like an N of five. That you could go to the medical student and they wouldn't know your name. And honestly, it's not me, it has nothing to do with me. It has to do with my sheikh. SubhanAllah, because I vividly remember the day that I went to him and I said, you know, I'm thinking about writing this book in pathology. And it was just like I have all ideas all the time. They're just, my head is constantly churning, you know. So one more idea, and I presented it to him. And I remember him looking at me and telling me, okay, you have 9 months to finish it. Like 9 months, like normally it takes 7 years to write a pathology textbook. You know, the gold standard pathology textbook at the time was written by my boss and his group, and at that time he was my boss and his group, and that took them 7 years to write. And they were a group of people at Harvard, here, there, you know. I'm like one guy by myself trying to patch together all of pathology, and he gives me 9 months to write it. And I remember working day and night, day and night, day and night, because he gave me a date to come back and give him the book. And I remember I went there with my head hanging, because we were supposed to meet in Turkey in October, and I went there with my head hanging that I didn't finish. And he said, okay, I'll give you 3 more months. And then subhanAllah, finished in 3 more months. What, 3 more months? You're supposed to give 3 more years. But anyway, subhanAllah, now today you look at it, his name is in the book, by the way. It's on the first page of the book in the acknowledgments. And how many people around the world have benefited from that, and then through them, every single patient that they serve. And who doesn't go to a doctor, right? The vast majority of humanity is going to end up at some doctor, you know? So think about the benefit of this sheikh student interaction that I can honestly say the vast majority of humanity secondarily benefited from this interaction. This is a true sheikh with a sheen. This is a true sheikh with a sheen. SubhanAllah. And I can tell you in so many domains that just the barakah of this interaction just permeated. These are a few simple examples I'm giving, but I'm just telling you the vast majority of what you see in life is underpinned by a much more complex system that's hidden. You know, if you see something of benefit, you only see the thing that rises above the surface. You don't see the network of things under the ground that's actually supporting that. But subhanAllah, all those things that are hidden, all those interactions, which just can never be measured except that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala captures them and recognizes them and rewards them, we'll see it on the Day of Judgment. So the summary, again, like I said, we have to have a short gathering today. I just, subhanAllah, he passed away a couple weeks back, December 13th, 14th, that weekend. And subhanAllah, I just have been thinking since then, you know, like every single domain, what an interaction that, like, in every single domain of my life, I can clearly see, you know, like I can go to a non-Muslim and they can testify. Okay, go to a non-Muslim and they can testify that yes, you know, we felt the breeze. We felt the breeze of his concern for humanity. SubhanAllah. And this is a great blessing. This is such a great blessing. Honestly, and this is the type of these are the types of interactions that we should be seeking. These are the true interactions of meaning. It's so fortunate in life where you can find, if you can find some interaction that, again, the point here isn't that it replaces the interaction that we would have had if we were in the presence of the Prophet. It bridges us to the interaction that we would have had if we were in the company of the Prophet. Meaning it's connecting us to there. That's the ultimate goal. That's the goal of our mashayikh. Our ulama, our mashayikh, our qurra, they're just delivering us to a doorstep. But it's hard to find. And when you find it, subhanAllah, it's so special. It's so special. So anyway, we're going to close this whole thing off with just a little reminder, which is that, you know, typically what happens in this gathering, maybe I haven't shared this before, but you should be aware, it's important. So we recite these various adhkar, and what happens in this, these adhkar are actually adhkar that are selected by the mashayikh, some of the mashayikh before us. So that's where these selections come from. Now, I don't have like, you know, every single selection here for the just in order to keep it efficient and for the sake of time and just based on the reality of our circumstance, you know, many of them are here. But what happens is we recite these various adhkar. Now, these are all from the Sunnah and or from the Quran, as you've seen, because we put the references up a few years back and they're now on the screen when you make the recitations. But what happens at the very end of this gathering is that we make like a 30-second, 1-minute dua, right? It happens every time we have this gathering. And in that dua, essentially what we're doing, or what I'm doing, is acknowledging all of the pious predecessors that came before us, particularly our mashayikh, but honestly, all of the pious predecessors that came before us, starting with the Prophet ﷺ, to the Sahaba, to all of the tabi'in, the ulama, the mashayikh, the qurra, etc. And we're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take the benefits of this gathering, that He make them worthy of being presented to Him, that He multiply them, and that He return them to the accounts of all of the ones that we just listed. So that's one of the special features of this gathering. It's our opportunity to be able to reconnect and acknowledge all of the sacrifice of the pious predecessors that came before us. So I just say that to reset your perspective, because subhanAllah, we have one more added to the list of the people who have served us and are no longer with us, and we should continuously keep all such people in our du'as. I mean, this is the whole deen. The deen, like I've said so many times before, is just a series of debts. We're indebted to Allah for having created us, guiding us, providing for us, nurturing us, caring for us. We're indebted to the Prophet ﷺ for, again, being the source of revelation to us, being the conduit of revelation to us in this deen. We're in debt to all of the pious predecessors that came before us for all of the sacrifices that they made in order for us to be able to be where we are today. And and our parents, of course, who then come at the top of that list. So we should be continuously grateful and we should continuously make dua for them.